This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As you plan your Thanksgiving meal, what's the one dish that represents your family? Maybe the one that's been handed down through generations. The New York Times recently ran a piece, a recipe collection, called The United States of Thanksgiving. It had recipes that the Times said evoked each of the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Michigan's recipe? German potato salad. Now, that got many readers in Michigan and other states who weren't so sure that the Times got their state recipes right, begging to differ. And that includes Linda Holmes. Holmes is a writer at NPR's pop culture blog, Monkey See, and the host of Pop Culture Happy Hour. And Linda, your state of Minnesota got?
Something they called grape salad, which I had never heard of.
Never. So this is a total swing and a miss as far as you're concerned.
Well, to me, it just was something I had never, ever heard of. It was grapes, which you sort of dump a bunch of sour cream in with them, and you mix it up, and then you heat it with brown sugar on top, and then you chill it again.
Ooh.
And that's what it is, and they call it grape salad. And they insist it's delicious.
They insist, because you're not particularly inclined to want to try it. At least we got German potato salad, which people can, they understand that, and it's good.
Well, German potato salad is delicious. I mean, that just sounds wonderful. And as I said, they insist that the grape salad is good. And there are people who say that they eat it, that they have relatives who make it. I don't think it's particularly Minnesotan, but there are certainly people who say, oh, yes, this is something that my, mom or grandma makes and serves like a Jell-O salad or something like that.
Well, it's funny because that grape salad recipe, it had something like 800 comments to date with people saying things like, how ridiculous is this? And are other states equally misrepresented? Where do you think the New York Times might have gone wrong with this attempt at cultural map making?
Well, I think that when the New York Times public editor eventually had to address this issue, she got a comment from Sam Sifton, who runs their food coverage, who I think hit the nail on the head and said, the issue is really that cultural things, he said food, but cultural things in general are not really state by state. They're regional. So any time that you're trying to come up with a definition of a state, you're already talking in many cases about a boundary that's a little bit artificial. People in Minnesota, for example, would have recognized wild rice, but they gave wild rice to Wisconsin. And they would have recognized lefse, which is a sort of a flatbread made out of potatoes, but they assigned that to North Dakota. But those states are all kind of a region, and so they kind of ran out of regional things to assign. So part of the problem is just there's not necessarily, in many cases, a firm idea of a state-by-state food culture or literary culture or whatever.
That's interesting. And then when you think about it, it really does come down to your ethnic heritage, too, because I could have something on my table with an Irish background that other people would go, what? Colcannon? What is potatoes with cabbage?
Absolutely. Minnesota has obviously, a lot of Norwegian, people whose background is Norwegian or, otherwise is from kind of the cold parts of Europe. But, it also has a large Hmong population. It has a large Ethiopian population, a large Somali population. It depends on what part of the state you're talking about. There are a bunch of Finnish people up in kind of the northern part of the state. So trying to find like one thing for the whole state is a little bit, is a little bit of a tough thing to begin with.
Would you take a stab at it, Linda? What would you have picked for Minnesota?
I would have picked something with wild rice. I would have picked some kind of a wild rice casserole, or as in Minnesota they would call it a hot dish. But I would have picked some kind of wild rice hot dish. That I would have recognized.
Well, if nothing else, the New York Times got people talking about this story, for better or for worse.
They certainly did.
Linda Holmes is a writer at NPR's pop culture blog Monkey See and the host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Have a very happy, happy Thanksgiving, Linda.
Thank you. You too.
Now, in that New York Times piece, The United States of Thanksgiving, Michigan was represented by German potato salad. That recipe was contributed by Priscilla Massey of Allegan. Priscilla's the author of Walnut Pickles and Watermelon Cake, A Century of Michigan Cooking. Priscilla, some of us did kind of scratch our heads at the idea of German potato salad as representative of Michigan Thanksgiving. How did you come to pick that recipe?
Well, when they called, we discussed a lot of different ones, and so many of them were already taken, like apple pie in New York and things like that. And with such a conglomerate of different people coming into Michigan. I talked to her about how the Germans were a large part of it, and their ancestry, there's 22% of their ancestry is still in Michigan. So it's a pretty big chunk, and the Irish come right after that. And she said, well, let's do something with the German ancestry. And German potato salad came to mind because potatoes have been a pioneer food staple.
And potatoes are such a huge crop in Michigan today.
They are. They really are. And we have some great ones. My favorite one is the Posen potatoes up in Posen, Michigan. And so I didn't do the mashed potatoes and gravy and the green bean casserole or the sweet potato pies and things like this because we all do that. But the German potato salad is a recipe that was found for generations in my family. And my family goes back to Quincy, Michigan, and they were German farmers down there.
Priscilla, what is it that makes that German potato salad recipe so good?
Well, I think, you know, you've got it's a potato salad made with bacon and vinegar and sugar. So you've got a sweet and sour going on, and you've got that mustard and celery seed. It's just got a lot of nice little flavors that blend together. And it's baked for a long time. It smells wonderful. And it just has, in fact, my recipe calls for cider vinegar, and sometimes what I do if I have a nice jar of pickle juice left over in the fridge with all the garlic and herbs and everything, I use that instead.
Yum.
And it gives it a really nice kick, too. So it's just a nice baked German hot salad. Now, I know other people have emailed me and said that they've made it, and they put sour cream into it. And they are from Norway, and it's almost exactly like that. And I had some Dutch people write me and or email me and say the same thing, that they had the same recipe, only at the end they added sour cream. So there's different nationalities that do different things with it. But it is an old recipe. This is my grandparents, but I found them dating back to the 1850s.
And it's true, you know, all of us, we all have our own special thing that just seems completely normal, where we might go German potato salad, but meantime, we're having something else that really reflects our own heritage.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
If you're Middle Eastern, I have friends that are having couscous and hummus, both on their Thanksgiving table, but they're also having turkey. Or when I was in Sault Ste. Marie for 10 years, I volunteered at the Italian Hall, and I'd have Thanksgiving up there with the Italians, and there'd be big bowls of homemade ravioli and tortellini, but there'd be the turkey, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, apple pie, the whole thing. But just a little bit of a heritage thing going on then.
What's the most exotic thing you've ever seen on a table for Thanksgiving, Priscilla?
Oh, exotic. Probably one of the fun things we like to make is Danish Abel Skivers.
I love the name. Abel Skivers?
Abel Skivers. And I research Michigan food, and well, I research food, period, but I really love to read about the history of Michigan foods. And the Danish pioneers that came to Michigan, like in the Greenville area and Grayling and Gaylord area, they brought their Abel Skiver pans with them and their quilts and a few things. But the Abel Skiver pan is a little pan with six little cups in it, and you spin a batter similar to a pancake batter, and you spin it around, and it comes out like about the shape of an apple. And Abel Skiver means little apple, but it tastes more like a beignet.
Okay.
You know, it's very light, very fluffy, made with buttermilk. So there's that's kind of a fun one that they make as a dessert.
What is the one dish that everyone in your family insists has to be on your table this Thursday?
Oh, boy. Well, definitely the homemade mashed potatoes and gravy. Definitely my new raspberry chocolate cheesecake, the apple pie, the pumpkin pie, and the green bean casserole. And I use lard in my pie crust. I think they make the best pie crust. In fact, one of my hints for you, though, that I like, do you make pies?
Now, the answer is no, because I love pie so much that it would be too dangerous, Priscilla.
Yeah, okay. Some people make them, and some I understand. Everyone has their specialties. I love making pies. I've been doing it since I was a kid. And one of the things I like to do with an apple pie or a pumpkin pie is after I've made the dough, I've got the flour. I haven't put the flour into the lard yet, but I sprinkle in some cinnamon and nutmeg. So you get a really nice flavor within the whole pie crust, and I never have crust left on a plate.
I can imagine you don't. Crust can be the best. My mother was a farm girl from Ontario, and she learned how to do a mean pie. And then she would take the extra
pie crust
and roll it into cinnamon sugar twists. And
gosh, I grew up with that, too.
There you go.
Yes, and I do it for my girls. Yes. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's really a tradition.
And here's what we're doing right now is really what the holiday is all about, is thinking of the tradition and who's been there before us and making sure that the next generations can enjoy the same kind of food.
Oh, Cynthia, that's it exactly. You know, food is a common language. You can go throughout this country and speak to anyone, and you bring up food, and everyone can communicate. You know, and it's wonderful. And, yeah, the old stories and the new stories of Thanksgiving, and it's just wonderful.
Priscilla Massey is author of Walnut Pickles and Watermelon Cake, A Century of Michigan Cooking, and she joined us from Allegan. So good to talk with you, Priscilla, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. It was wonderful being on your show.